CliffCentral.com.
All right, well, there I am. Okay. Oh. Well, we found out that there's a button that just cancels everything.
Well, you need one of those.
Oh.
In life.
Do we?
In life, we do. Imagine.
And now I'm hearing like myself somewhere else. Hang on a minute. Are these your headphones? I'm unplugging those.
No.
Let me see if that gets rid of that. Oh, my God. It's like we're falling over ourselves here this morning. All right. Here we are. Good morning, everybody. What a lot of fun.
After a hard reset.
Jesus. I'm still hearing like myself. Where are the – oh, these monitors are up or something. Ah! Okay, that's gone. Yes. Let me just hear. Oh, fuck.
It's like when you take your first medication as a schizophrenic, that relief.
Well, I'm still not relieved. I'm going to lose my mind. Poor Ryan got here this morning and we didn't have a key for the front door.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how did you eventually get in?
I broke the window. I'm kidding.
You just drove through the front door.
I was thinking
about
this. So Ryan phones me on the way here. I've got to introduce our guest host for the morning, which I'll get to in a second, but I'm on my way in here and Ryan phones me and I'm like about a third, two thirds of the way here. And he says, oh, do you have a key? So I said to him, I've never had a key. No one would trust me with that.
No.
So he goes, oh, okay. So I said, well, what's the problem? What's the key for? He goes, the front door.
Oh, dear.
Like, I don't know how we're going to get in here. Anyway, it turns out that they had to wake someone up and God alone knows. Anyway, here we are. Ricky says that cancel button is called a woke button. Yeah, well, because it cancels everything. Exactly.
Yeah.
Here it is. I found it.
Don't press that again.
I'm not going to press that button again. Holy shit. I don't know what that is. Anyway, imagine Gareth with the nuclear code, says Carl. Oh, oops. I just found out there's a button that cancels everything. Fucking hell, mate.
Yeah.
I was listening to – doesn't matter. I'll get to that in a second. Let's first get to this man. I love this guy. Sivengesi. How the hell are you? You beautiful.
Great, thanks. Great, thanks. And you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm glad you got to hear how unprofessional we are this morning when we couldn't unlock the studio and I found the cancel everything button. And I mean, it's like a mental hospital here with the patients are in charge of the hospital. You know what I mean?
Don't worry, Gareth. The people who run this country are definitely more disorganized than you. At least the lights are on in your place.
I feel like I'm, Becky Taylor or Praveen Gordon or one of those incompetent people. I really do. I mean, like, I didn't even know which button to press this morning. And I mean, that's not hard. I always say to people, like, DJs and radio people are not very smart. By and large, they're among the dumbest. They're among the dumbest people. Like, you know, if you're a car mechanic, people need you, right?
So the thing is, you need to know a little bit about everything.
Well, no, but I'm talking about like their actual skill set. Like I should be able to know which button is which. That's kind of in the job description.
Mm.
Like if you're a car mechanic and you the first thing you do is connect two wires, the whole car blows up, then you're not a very good mechanic.
Mm.
And if you're a nurse and you go in and you're treating someone who's got like bladder infection and you poke their eye out with a syringe, then you're not really a good nurse. You know, that's what I was doing this morning. So I don't know that I'm as competent. I think I'm, you know, being a politician, there's no skill set really. Not today. I mean,
no, we've seen their CVs.
There's a guy in Virginia, I think it is, or Pennsylvania called John Fetterman, who just won the Senate seat there. No, or yeah, governor or senator, one of the two. Anyway. He has brain damage.
Okay.
But like proper, like he can't read. He can't speak half the time.
So like speech impairment, maybe cognitive function.
No. He's brain damaged.
Yeah.
He can't do what like you would think a senator or whatever, he'd have to talk.
Mm.
This guy can't talk. He became a senator. It shows you that the politician class, they have a totally, there's no rule. There's no like, you don't have to be or do anything if you're a politician. You could be brain damaged and do the job. Anyway, I'm being rude. How are you, dude? What's news?
Me, you know, I'm good, man. You know, day by day, doing my thing, offending people here and there, doing my thing, and continuously being myself, you know.
Well, I got to ask you about something, and I don't mean to like scratch it at wounds, but when your mom died, which is now, you know, it's a couple of months, and I mean, you and your mother were extremely close. She was the number one person in your world. And I kind of watched from a distance, because I wouldn't claim to be one of your close friends, although I care about you. And, you know, I sent you a message, and I, it just, it was such a beautiful thing to see your tribute to your mother. And you continue to kind of make tribute to her. And I've just got to say, without ever having met this woman, I was in awe of her.
Oh, what a beast. Absolute beast. So when you ask me how I'm doing, like, I'm not well. You know what I mean? Like,
no, sure.
I'm definitely, I'm a corpse compared to what I used to be. And that sounds like an exaggeration. But I've realized that me at my worst is some people's best. So I just keep on going.
Good point.
But it really did knock me for six. And anyone listening, you don't realize how bad it is until it's happened to you. So it's been the most difficult experience of my life. But weirdly, creatively, and like, I do feel like a better person, and I feel like a better creative human, if you know what I mean. But that seems like such a weird thing to say. But there is this weird thing about darkness that just has actually brought something out of me. But it's just an unbelievable deep hole in your heart that just never goes away. And when you are happy, you remember that, oh, wait a minute, don't forget your mom's sad, dead. And then you're like, go, and you're just like, every day is like that. Every day. So now, man, I can control the tears now, which has been, you know, a great little strength to have.
Yeah.
But it is, I don't think we talk enough about it. We don't talk enough about it. We don't talk enough about grief. We don't talk enough about pain. We don't talk enough about loss. I realized after losing my mother is people don't deal well with death.
No.
The awkward messages.
You mean people sent you weird messages?
Yeah, like the weirdest things. But I think it's quite interesting because people don't know what to say. The first thing they do is make it about themselves. It's weird. It's weird. Like, I don't know what I would do if I lost my mother. Oh my God. I don't know what. It's quite like, I think. And then another thing that helped me, and I think was grieving publicly, because I shared her publicly, I grieved publicly, which ended up drawing people into my private messages who've gone through the same thing. And then we all went through the process together. Or someone lost their mother the day before mine. And then as we're going along, they'll be like, okay, are you at this stage? Like, yeah, bro, it's so weird. Like, sometimes you get to the stage of actually being jealous of people having mothers. Now, that is the weirdest thing ever.
Wow. That's a hell of an admission, huh?
Like, you see them. Oh, there's another admission I'm going to give you that's actually pretty sad and hard to even admit. You see people and you go, you have a mother. And then there's a part of me that's like, actually, I'm not even going to tell you to love them because you should be loving your mother anyway. Mm. And there's this other darkness of my mother was overweight, of me being angry at her. Me going, damn it, mom, you could have changed this. And then I see other people who are overweight, and then I go, it is weird, like, thingy.
Yo.
And there's another part of grief that it's hard to admit, and it's the first time I've admitted it on a public platform. When someone loses their mother, I'm like, okay, now you're going to feel what I felt. Mm-hmm. And that's just that's the scariest thing ever, of me just going, okay, now you're going to feel what I felt.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, holy hell. It's, guys, even wording it, it's difficult to word, because if my mother came back, if someone told me 3 days later, oh, sorry, we were just joking, your mom's still alive. I realized that there's no way of loving her enough to make the pain less. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah. Like there's nothing you could have done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But then I just want to say one last like comment about, okay, we'll talk about more, but I remember going to go dress her. You dress your mother. You don't have to dress her physically, but you bring the clothes. So like going there, finding her outfit, and then, oh, panties and bra, going through her panties and bra cabinet and getting a pair or whatever, and making sure it's clean and whatever, getting there and then laughing at me going, oh, people don't wear bras and panties in their coffin. No, because their tits are frozen down and their legs are shut. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
But then I thought to myself, my mother's told me all my life to wear clean underwear because just in case something happens to you. No.
Right.
But to round it up, hold on.
What did you choose for your mom, like panties wise?
I literally chose the most boring mother panties that were flipping maroon.
Yes. Yes.
Maroon, boring cack. But then, my biggest lesson in life was seeing my mother on this metal steel table. And it's like, it looks like a butchery in this mortuary, which they have to improve at. And I remember fixing her sock and feeling ice on her sock, right? Mm. And then looking down and thinking, I'm not going to tell you I love you here. What the fuck is the use of me telling her I love you here? I told you I loved you all my life. I loved you all my life. And I think some people tell their mothers or their fathers or their friends that they love them at that place where they're fixing the cold sock. And me, I was just like, nah, bro. But when I ended up crying, was a cry of not she's dead, was like a cry of, oh my God, you're so beautiful. And then it comes over you like a little tingling feeling. And my friends who've had kids say that's the feeling of love when they first see their kids. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it at the end when my mother was on the mortuary table of just going, oh my God, she's so beautiful. I love you so much. And it does this thing and it consumes you to a point of like, you're going to pass out, but it's like a little weird kind of a, like someone's taken, like you've been suffocated, but like where you've been suffocated with like love. And I'm not the most airy fairy person in the world. You know that, but it like consumes you, man. I don't ever want to love anyone or anything like I loved her. And then you can feel your heart does this thing of just going, did you see how that hurt? Okay, let's protect you now. And you become like this, like this wraps your heart in something. And then you're just like, you don't want to go through that. Oh my God, it's so bad. But yeah, I'm alive.
Dude. Well, I mean, listen, I couldn't have brought you back on the show months later and not talked about this. And I think you tell the story beautifully. I mean, listen, this is not something anyone wants, but it's something all of us have to go through, right? In the course of natural things, the parent does not outlive the child. That's just how it works.
You know,
so I mean, for those of us who don't know yet, one day we're going to know.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
So when my mother lost her mother at 98, my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer. My mother was like, we need another opinion. And I was like, another opinion?
98?
The opinion is that she's going to die.
Yeah.
And my mother cried. I remember looking at her going, she's 98, woman, relax, man. And now I'm like, oh, okay.
I get it.
Okay. I'm like, I get it.
I also saw something of yours that I want to hear your comment on here. Just last week, like a friend of yours, some homeless dude, like threw a brick at her car or something. And you, this is so funny, Leanne. This guy is like, that motherfucker, I'm going to go and get him. So he films like his reaction. And he shows the car, and then he gets in his car, and he goes. You know, he's going to go and find this guy
because it's just happening.
Who vandalized this car? You couldn't find him. I wish you had, because I would have liked to have seen you beat him up. And you know, people are like, "Oh well, if it's a homeless person, you're not allowed to judge them." There's this weird thing that happens in society that if someone is poor or unfortunate or they're on tick or whatever, that suddenly you can't go over there and mete out some justice on them, because we know that the justice system is not going to do it, right? This is not a country where the police force actually do what the police force is meant to do. So you go out there to fuck this guy up. And I'm like, yes, I was part of this. I was on board for the whole story. And then I was so disappointed you didn't find the guy.
So the girl was coming to my house, right? And she says, down the road it happened. So then she gets it. And I said to her, why didn't you call me? I would have been there. And then she's like, no, I knew you were going to hurt him. And I said, yeah, because he can't pay you back. So I have to fuck him up. We need some sort of accountability up in this motherfucker. And then I was like, so then I looked for him. We were going everywhere looking for him, looking for him. And she thought that I was going to have the common decency of talking to him. I was not going to talk. I was going to live post me fucking him up. And like, for me, it shows you that what the problem is in this flipping country is that this accountability is not a regular thing, to the point that people just, she was like, no, he has, I was like, no, he threw a brick at a car. He needs to know that when he does it again, he has to get his ass whooped.
Right. I just wish you had the chance to do this. Oh, I was so goddamn annoyed, and I could see you were too. I'm also sick of these good people, right? There are good people in the world who mean well, but they just have no appreciation for cause and effect. And whenever something like this happens, they're always trying to make excuses for people, and they think somehow it makes them sound like good people, but actually, we need accountability and we need justice. Like I've gone full circle. I went from being someone, you're going to find this probably kind of stupid, but I think it's quite a revelation to me. I went from being one of those people who was pro death penalty as a 20 something kid at varsity. And I was like, oh no, the death penalty is a good thing. And I'll tell you why. And even though we were studying law and this was a big subject at the time, because the famous case State versus Mokanyane was the one that we were basing our conversations on. Anyway, this turned me 180 degrees, and suddenly I was one of those people who was very much against the death penalty. I was like, this is not something we should have. It's a barbaric relic of our past. And if the state kills people, that makes the state as bad as the killer, kind of thing in my head. And I think I'm going round to the other side now. I'm like, no, there are some people, like someone who like rapes a child or whatever. There's just no reason. There's no reason that person should be kill. Right. And the state should have a way to kill those people. And I reckon, like in some small way, this is just because our system has become so effete and so incompetent and so useless at actually doing what it's there to do, that now I almost feel like we need to now get to a point where we can actually, because this country and this earth is just full of shit people who need to be put out of their misery. Well, so that the rest of us can live happily.
Being put out of their misery, that's the key point.
Yeah.
A lot of these people who are really, you know, far into the horrible crimes that we're mentioning, those people are miserable, and some of them wish they weren't like they were. Some of them want to die. Mm. Some of them want to be killed or to be caught or to be locked up, or to have the death penalty. They actually, because they know that they're beyond healing.
Well, I mean, look at this. This is a comment for you, Siv. Ancient Ether says, great news, you didn't find him. Violence is gross. Okay, now, I don't know who Ancient Ether is, and I'm not going to make any guesses about the kind of world that Ancient Ether lives in, except to say that clearly this is a person, I'm going to guess probably female, because women talk like that about violence, because violence is not a part. No, it's not a part of many women of a certain social status. It's not a part of their lives. So violence is something that they can condemn in movies. They can complain about on the playground. They can pretend it's a toxic masculinity thing because they don't deal with violence. But the world is still a very violent place. There are men in uniform who are protecting countries' borders, who are going to fight against ideological enemies. There is a huge amount of violence in the world, not to mention the fact that there are so many women in this world who are dealing with domestic violence, who are dealing with men who are out of control. And there are men who are fighting each other for money, like Jake Paul what's his name? Fury, the guy he took on, Tommy Fury, I think it is, last night. Anyway, this is something like Ancient Ether. I'm sorry, but like you're just living in a different universe. Am I right?
You know, I am an understander that at some point the only way to actually answer some things is violence. And that may be my toxic masculinity side of me. But like, yeah. I'm just like I even see kids screaming at teachers and hitting teachers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I went home after mourning a teacher, no, I would not go home. My mother would have absolutely annihilated me.
Right. With physical violence, I might add. Right?
Violence. And for me, even though she's dead, I can still feel her beatings. Every time I walk and I meet people, I'm like, hey, sir, hey, ma'am. She's still my continuous conscience. She's still the one that's holding me accountable continuously. But let me tell you one thing. If someone is mooting a kid to the point of abuse, I am the first to throw a fist or a punch at the person who's abusing the kid. There's a level of, you know, sometimes as humans, we can judge what is wrong or right. You know, then we must jump in, you know. But the world has become quite weird. Even the other day, talking about accountability, I slaughtered a cow.
Yes.
At that was great. A great transition. Multi-award winner. On Saturday, we slaughtered a cow. We slaughtered a cow at my father's to release my father's spirit. Mm-hmm. And I took a picture and it said, short story, a knife and blood, right? Vegans came. Wow.
Yeah.
And then I wrote a post going, actually, if you have a complaint, fuck you, right? And then I realized I'm not compelled to explain what is happening, but it's been an honor to actually explain what is happening. What is happening is that we slaughter a cow to release my dad's spirit, right? And then everyone in the neighborhood is allowed to come and eat. Perfect strangers, enemies, anyone is allowed to eat. The cow at 6 o'clock we started slaughtering. At 6:30, the meat was ready. Right, I tell you, 70% of the flipping cow was gone in like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
By 12 o'clock, the whole cow was finished, right? How beautiful is that? That random strangers come in, they eat, they have a good time, we're merry, we're away. Women have their own section where they eat. It was beautiful. I wasn't trying to justify it.
You don't have to justify shit. No, I mean, you paid for the cow, first of all. How is that any different? And all these people who think they're superior because they go and buy it at Woolworths in the meat section.
Or eat it in a restaurant.
Like, they're not superior. And as for the vegans who are like hugely touchy about you and me eating meat, but they're not very upset about the leather shoes or the jacket or any of that other stuff. It's pure hypocrisy. And this idea, and this goes back to kind of what, you know, the whole thing about violence that you were talking about and trying to find this homeless guy through a brick at your friend's car is like, there are certain people who have started to think that we're suddenly way better than anyone who's come before us.
Yes. Like we're just, oh my goodness.
We're morally superior. Like, I have such a problem with this. Like, you judge people in history. You say that, oh, they were so backward. And, you know, we've managed to transcend violence. We've managed to transcend eating meat. I'm somehow a better creature. Walking the earth with like all of this consciousness and all of this, I'm wide open to like, you know, modernity and you can condemn everyone who came before you. It's so easy to do that, which is just nonsense. You are not better than any of our ancestors. You're actually probably quite a lot worse because you don't know how to survive. If I put you out in the wild now, you would be fucked.
Yeah. It's so funny you talk about that. I see the way the world is working. Like, even the wokeness, you can feel the wokeness in the cancel culture is actually starting to,
right?
It's starting to get less and less and less. It's starting to, there is some, like, it's like fashion. Fashion just comes in like these circles.
It's pulling out of fashion. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you see like for example, women have been fighting for their rights for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. Fighting for your rights isn't new. Like, women have been doing incredible things, burning passes, doing things during apartheid. Like, apartheid wouldn't have ended without women. It would have never ended without women. Like, women were doing incredible things, keeping households, being punished, crazy things happening to them. So online, sometimes they act like it's a new thing. And I'm like, no, women have been fighting for years, for hundreds of years for equality. And like, it's this weird little circle thing that everyone thinks that we are the ones that came up with this. We are the ones that have, I'm just like, no,
It's not a trend.
No.
It's not
a... Yeah. And my favorite thing. Are you all right there, Leanne? I mean, what is that?
It just got me all emotional.
Oh, okay. All right, listen. Speaking of getting all emotional, now, Siv and Leanne, you guys are going to bear witness to our first ever Unstuck. Now, this is with Dr. Hanan, who, of course, is our renowned psychologist. He's the head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg. And you might remember, I read an email that Megan sent me a while back. It's not Megan and Megan and Harry, Megan, but there's a different Megan. She listens to us. She said she's having a conflict with her mom because, I mean, they're going to explain the whole thing themselves. Her mom is a little bit unhappy about, she feels a bit used. Megan feels like her mom is suddenly, you know, turning her back on them for a thing that they've been doing as a family for a while. And I thought it might be fun to bring Dr. Hanan in here and he can ask the questions and he can see if he can iron this out. Now, they don't hate each other. Mm. They're not going to drive to each other's houses and beat each other up. But I'm going to get Carol, who's Megan's mom, on. Hey, Carol, how are you?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you.
Morning, morning. You seem like a very sweet person, Carol. I can't believe you and Megan are fighting like this. But here's Megan. Hey, Megan, you also seem like a very... You seem like a very sweet person too. And you and your mother are, you know, obviously in a situation now here, you want to try and resolve this problem. So I'm going to let you have Dr. Hanan all to yourself, and Siv and Leanne and I are just going to observe and maybe we can learn something from this. So Dr. Hanan, the final piece of the puzzle. How are you, sir?
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Okay.
Good. All right. Will you help these two women to figure out their problem? And let's start off with Megan's email. So Megan, just explain like in a couple of sentences why you emailed me in the first place.
I mean, basically it was because you were talking to someone about the Northern Lights and my mom piqued an interest and she was supposed to come with me to Mauritius and my family. Yes. So I could get a bit of a break from the kids. I've got three small kids. And then she came to my house that day and she said, oh, you must listen to this. I'm actually going to go and do that rather. And I was like, what?
Okay. I just want to know, purely out of curiosity, like, were you going to pay for her to come to Mauritius or did she pay for herself?
We were going to pay half. We were going to pay half for her to come with.
And now she'd rather go. She would rather go off to the Northern Lights with Professor David Block, which, I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, she wants to have a holiday for herself and not be your glorified nanny. But I'm not going to get involved in this. So, Carol, is that a fair characterization of the problem from your point of view?
No, not really, because I was going to pay for myself full 100%.
Okay.
No.
It is more or less correct. Yeah, she's got it right.
More or less.
They were all going to go to Mauritius. And until I heard Professor Block on your show a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. And then I decided, you know, the Northern Lights has always been on my bucket list. And when he said there that you shouldn't go on a cruise, because I wanted to go with friends of mine on a cruise and witness it, he said no. Then I decided, okay, I'm going to contact him, which I did. And I'm on his list, but I'm still organizing passports and visas and whatever. But yeah, so that's where we are at the moment. And I don't feel that I should, you know, sacrifice what I want to do. Mauritius can wait.
Okay, so Carol, I want to ask you a couple of things. So I'll start with you, Carol. Mm-hmm. What's your relationship like with your daughter and the grandchildren?
Excellent.
Excellent.
It is excellent.
And how much do you value spending time with the grandchildren?
The grandchildren, I've got six. I have six grandchildren. The three of them from Megan and three from my other daughter. I value it more than anything else except my own happiness.
So are you saying your own happiness comes before your relationship with your grandchildren?
It probably is part of the mix in who I am and what's making me happy. So I can't really say one above the other.
Okay.
Part of what makes me happy.
Okay, and specifically with the Northern Lights, is there any way that you could see it at a later stage, or is this kind of the only opportunity? And if you miss this opportunity, it's gone forever.
No, it's always going to be there. You know, and there's a certain time in the year, apparently you need to go in March, where it's the coldest and the clearest of the sky, etc. So you've basically got 1 month in a year to witness it.
Okay. And my last question to you is, do you think you're being taken advantage of by your daughter, by her asking you to come with? Do you think you're going to be the glorified nanny? Do you think that she's using you unfairly? Do you think you're being taken advantage of?
I know her intentions are good, and she will, you know, she'll say, don't worry, you can have time to go on your own, or we can walk with the children or whatever. Or she and I can go for a walk and go for a swim or whatever. But I think I will feel that because they're around me and we all love to be together, I will want to spend time with them.
Hmm. Okay. And Megan, why do you think it's important? Why would it be cool to have your mother with you?
She knows exactly why, because my kids are not going to be small forever. She adores our children. I have a little girl that's going to be 2 in May, and she's not going to be little forever. And she's just, my mother thinks she's everything. She thinks she's amazing, and she cries if they have any sight of hardship in their life, like I don't give them sweets and they're upset. She will get teary. So I think she's lying. She does want to come with me, and she should come with me. And she knows that I'm not going to just, like, pawn the kids off on her. There's kids' clubs there. I've explained it to her. We'll be relaxing. But can I just throw a spanner in the works, though? Because there's another person involved in this who is my – how old is Nana, Mom? 89?
Yes.
She's 88 or 89. So – every time we go to Mauritius, I send her photos and videos, and she says, oh, Grandpa said before he died, when he retires, he's going to take me to Mauritius. He passed away just after he retired. I wanted to take my mom and Nana to Mauritius and have her live out that experience that my grandpa promised her before he passed
away.
Wow.
This would be your kid's great-grandmother?
That's right. And let me just say, my mom's gran, so my great granny, so my kid's great great granny was 105, and she died 3 years ago, four years
ago. Well, you're lucky she died a couple of years ago. You'd be paying for her as well, Meg.
Yeah, Jesus, I know.
How much money are you spending bringing all these old folks with you?
No, look, my mom has got a brother in the UK, and he would possibly contribute. We haven't spoken to him about it yet, I don't think. And there are other siblings of my mom. So to do this for Nana would be really nice. Mm. And I said what the plan was, because I love my Nana, and I would spend a lot of time with Nana, and my kids adore her too, and my mom could be with my kids. When they aren't, like, at the kids' area, you know, there's people that take care of your kids in the day. So, and yes, I am spoiled. I know that. But it would have just been a nice thing to do that this year. So, number one, Nana Stella is 88 or 89. She's not going to be around forever. My kids are not going to be 2 forever. The Northern Lights have been there forever.
So, All right. Let's let Dr. Hanan take control of this. Now. Okay. I mean, you plead your case. Now let's go.
That's my case.
Right.
Carol, I want to ask you something. Is it a financial thing? I
mean, Carol or Megan?
Carol. Is it a financial thing? Is it a financial thing? I mean, do you need your daughter to pay for it? Can you pay for it yourself? I'm talking about going to Mauritius.
Yeah, we can take finances out of the equation. But I must just say that I know this is like first world problems, and, you know, I don't want to minimize anybody else's. I must just say that, you know,
you don't have to explain it. We want to talk about this because this is the kind of thing that mom and daughter often have arguments about, and all kinds of families. So it doesn't matter what the actual situation is here. I mean, the fact that poor old Megan is going to end up with like her mom and her mom's mom. I mean, it's just
I would love that.
If I can just add, you know, I am living my best life at the moment. I'm retired and I do work, but so for me, after 43 years of teaching, I come first now.
Okay, so
go for it, Doc. Carl DeSantis says, Carol, stop being a Grinch. Go to Mauritius with your incredibly privileged and spoiled daughter.
Exactly, in a nutshell.
Okay, so based on this information, I want to mention two fundamental things before I give you my opinion and my verdict. First of all, perspective. Carol, to your point, we're dealing with first world problems. I mean, we're deciding whether you should go to see the Northern Lights or go to Mauritius, for God's sake. So in the greater scheme of things, you're both very blessed and you're both very lucky. You seem to have the most magnificent relationship and interaction. So that's perspective is important. This is a win-win situation. There's no losing position here. The second thing is that I really value, and it seems as you do too, relationships and interactions. Gareth, you discuss this on the show, grief and loss. And we know that life is really unpredictable and life is short. And at the end of our lives, we know that people look back and they don't remember the things that they've done. They remember the interactions that they've had, the people that made them laugh, the people that made them cry, the people that they danced with. They remember not necessarily the holidays, but the holidays that they had with someone. So relationships and interactions, that's the kind of thing that's a snapshot that makes our lives more meaningful. So based on everything that I've heard and this information, I believe that, Megan, you are being reasonable in wanting your mother to come along to Mauritius to help you with the children and connect with the grandchildren. I also do understand, Carol, your desire to see the Northern Lights. In my verdict, I would suggest that the family does go to Mauritius with the mother, with Megan as planned, as this will allow you, Megan, Carol, to connect with the children, to create memories, to create meaningful interactions. I would also suggest that the family plans are to go see the Northern Lights at another time, but go and spend quality time with the kids. You'll never regret it. There's no ways that you'll come back regretting the interaction.
Judge, so jury, and executioner.
Yeah, I reckon Dr. Hanan is ruled. But I'll tell you, this is why I'm not a psychologist. I would have given exactly the opposite advice. I would have said, just go and do your thing, Carol. I mean, somebody in the comments very unkindly said, what if you kick the bucket before you get to see the Northern Lights?
Remember, guys, we're not saying go see the Northern Lights or go sit at home and watch Netflix. We're saying go see the Northern Lights or go spend time with your family. This is the kind of interaction that you'll never regret. You will get to see. If you don't get to see the Northern Lights, you still have this incredible memory to look back on and go, I'm glad I did it. Nobody ever travels with their family, especially this kind of relationship. It's a pure, good relationship and regrets it. Go and enjoy it.
Well, a lot of hashtag free Carol from a lot of people seeing Carol as a slave to her daughter here, and some people say they're taking her along because she's a nanny, she's being abused, and then Parallel Parking says hashtag ignore Dr. Hanan. So you know what?
So we got to choose our poison.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, as you've both already intimated, it's not like you came on here to bitch about your lives. This is a nice problem to have. Carol, either way, I think you've earned whatever the decision is here.
And
Megan, you're not, I don't think you're being a bitch about this. I think you really do genuinely want your mom, and in this case, your gran as well.
I would love to spend time together.
Yeah. I mean, this is very special. I reckon the solution is, Dr. Hanan, with a little bit of nuance, all right? The solution is Megan can invite the gran and Carol, but she's got to pay for all of them.
There you go. What a wise man. What a wise man.
It all comes down to the
I love it.
If you're paying, then you have not only do you have the right to ask either gran or mum to help out with the kids, but you can also have what you want, which is clearly this this scenario, Carol. So I mean, Megan. But so go
the,
for it.
There is one catch. There's one catch. If she pays for everything, then I'm beholden. I have to do it. I have to look after the kids when she says I.
Yes.
She'll be reasonable.
She'll be reasonable.
Excuse me, how difficult is it going to be to look after the kids in Mauritius? I mean,
exactly. When I'm there, I'm drunk half the time. So
you're allowed.
Take care of.
There we go.
They don't need any. They just do their thing.
Well, the other half, then I can do my thing.
Lots of people joining the Free Carol hashtag here. Free Carol. Megan's tyranny must end. All right. You three have been very helpful. I love that there's this family with so much love and the ability to make these decisions. You know what, Carol, Professor David Block will organize another trip. You can go on the next one. Plus, think how much you're going to save. Your Mauritius trip's going to be paid for. Now you can save that money for the Northern Lights.
Sure, bloody will pay for my Northern Lights then.
Okay, now don't get greedy, Carol. All right, thank you. Thank you, ladies. I love that this is an issue because it's not that big an issue. Obviously, it's just a fun thing. And it is a demonstration, though, Dr. Hanan, of how we can get unstuck, right, and how there is a compromise. There's always a compromise that works.
Absolutely. Win-win for everybody. Absolutely.
Damn right. Okay. Thank you very much, ladies. Good luck. And let us know what happens. Let us know what happens here. I'm hoping, Dr. Hanan, they actually input your plan here and that they follow your advice.
But that's the rule. Didn't they sign something?
We didn't get them to sign anything. Is that what you want me to do from now on? We got to get them to sign things?
Yeah, they have to commit to it. If they're going to be on the show, they have to commit to following the verdict 100%.
Wow. Okay. And parallel parking, hashtag Megan pay all. Okay. All right. There we go.
I liked all the twists in the plot there. There were the biggest twist of all was the great grandmother.
Yeah.
That was the biggest twist. That changed everything.
Well, go ahead, Siv.
So, interestingly enough, I spoke about this earlier. Seeing people interacting with their mothers, in the greater scheme of things, it all means fuck all. As long as she still has her mother and she can still call her mother to tell her mother that she loves her. For me, it's just invaluable. They can see that the whole thing, the greater scheme of things, it always reminds me of that Linkin Park song. In the end, it doesn't even matter. But the beauty of that relationship makes me so jealous, so flipping, unbelievably jealous. But it's beautiful. Like for me, I think that was just beautiful. My mother was a principal for 33 years. So for her, my mother got to that stage as well of going, nah, bruh, I've just given everything to everyone my entire life. I was a teacher. She's like, it's time for my happiness. My mother was just like that after retiring. Exactly. But that mother was a lot more movable than my mother would have been. My mother was like, ah, fuck you, I'm going. Me for Jack. Going nowhere for Jack. So for me, that was so beautiful to watch.
You know, the thing is, we could all feel the connection that the both of them had together. It was beautiful. It was pure. It was real love. And that's why I gave the advice that I gave, because there was no conflict. There was really no animosity. There was no resentment. There was no conflict. And the connection between them was very important to the both of them. And you know, like when somebody goes on holiday and they come back and share photos and you half really care because you don't care about somebody else's holiday. But when you're involved in it, you want to watch the photos together and you want to remember the memories together and you want to re-engage and remember what you've done together. And I think this will be a special time for them, especially because they value the relationship and the relationship is so powerful. Siv, to your point, this connection is incredible. I mean, like we all look at it. And even people that have mothers, by the way, not everybody has good relationship with their mothers. And we watch this and we go, oh my gosh, this is really special. This is really, really unique.
All right. Well, Doc, thank you. And we will catch up with you again next Monday.
I look forward to it. Cheers, guys. All right,
there he is. This is Dr. Hanan, everybody. A little bit of therapy for a Monday morning. Yeah.
Gareth, I've got another story to tell you. So my, because a lot of people sometimes ask me, what drives me, what keeps me going. And I was interviewing, Kevin Hart last week, right?
Wow.
And
nice.
I found him quite underwhelming because he was just very, very tired. You know, when these entertainers are like 50,000 interviews, like they're just pushing kind of thing. And I did an interview with him, but I saw him throughout the whole day at other places, but he would answer the same thing over and over. But then you realize that because you only see them once, you only hear that once, because I saw him over and over, do an interview with him and he gives me the same answers over and over throughout the whole day because I'm doing interviews with him. But the last interview I did with him, I was like, I put my mic down and I whispered in his ear. After I asked him, I said, what drives you? And he was like, oh, gives me a generic answer. So I put the mic down as we're saying goodbye and I hug him and I said to his ear, she's proud of you. He's like, what? I said, you lost your mother in 2007. And only a man who's driven like you are is trying to make her proud continuously. And I said, I lost my mother 5 months ago and I can feel that my only mission now is to make her proud. So we had like a bit of a moment, a huggy. It was quite a moment. He was like, thank you so much, whatever kind of a thing. And for me, that's my only drive was to make my mother happy and to make her proud. And now having to live without her in my life is having to find how to make myself proud for myself. Because for me, success for me is a subconscious feel. I do it subconsciously, but I realized that consciously, I was just doing it to pick up my phone to say to my mom, do you know what I did today? And now it's to learn
and
that.
Do you reckon now that you are actually able to do it for yourself and to make yourself proud and happy?
No.
Still not.
For me, success and achieving is a no-brainer. You know what I mean? It's a no-brainer that I'm going to do well. It's a no-brainer that I will achieve my goals. That's a subconscious feeling. But I do miss that conscious feeling of phoning her and going, oh, 25 steps to nominations. And she'll be like, yo, I'm so proud of you, my baby. Ooh, doctor. Oh, you just so amazing, my baby. But another thing that she did that I'll never forget, people are always like, oh, man, you don't care about anything. And I was like, yeah, I used to care about what she thought. And at her memorial service, conservative crowd, conservative black, like old school Kukuletu.
Right.
And the priest said, your mother loved you so much. And I thought to myself, oh, no shit. And then he goes, no. Your mother loved you so much in Xhosa that she would share links and videos to your drag videos, to your pole dancing videos in the church WhatsApp group.
Wow. So your mother was basically whoring you out on the WhatsApp group in your ladies' clothing because you've done drag shows and you've done pole dancing. Are you still doing the pole dancing?
Yeah, I'm still doing the pole dancing. I'm still doing the pole dancing. I'm still doing the drag. I'm still doing the heels. It's my obsession.
I heard that you can actually pull yourself up the pole just using your ass cheeks all the way to the top. Is that true?
And my cock soft.
Yeah, there we go. He wraps it around the pole, and that helps to give him a bit of grip on the pole. That's what I heard.
It chafes sometimes. Like I just saw it. I once saw this thing. You know, the guy, the sick, men talk about sexual experience, and they go, "I love pulling the girl's panty to the side and putting it in. It feels nice, but then it chafes the side."
Well, we've covered a lot of ground here. I mean, 1 minute we're talking about you losing your dearly beloved mother. The next minute we're talking about chafing cocks on pants.
One more. I haven't seen this on a platform, but I have to show you something.
Do I need to cover my eyes?
So I go travel overseas. I use my mother's bag. And as I use my mother's bag, my mother's a 67-year-old woman. In the bag, look what I find.
What, condoms?
Oh my word.
Your mother had condoms in her bag. Ooh.
And it looked like it was torn teeth marks here. And there was supposed to be three and there's only two. Yes, mom.
that's been opened in a hurry, that's for sure.
That woman was busy.
Moms don't open boxes like that. You've seen how cereal boxes look like in the cupboard.
Yeah. Right.
They're perfect, and those tabs are all lined and closed.
That's right.
She did that in a rush. But you know what? So I wanted to say, and just to give you a little bit of context, my mom had a stroke 7 years ago, and she had a 40% chance of survival. She was in a comatose state for a year. And we basically had, you know, in many ways mourned her and accepted a big part of her, the loss of her. And she has made a remarkable recovery. She's blown doctors out of the water. She's again that person that I can phone at the end of the day and, you know, tell her about my day. And that was missing for so long. So I feel like I've come very close to feeling the full loss of my mom, and that's different for everyone. So I'm not saying I experienced the same as you, but I will say that feeling of this, like I remember having the most stupid question. I was packing up my house to move, and my mom had only barely started opening her eyes, and I had so many curtain hooks and I didn't know what to do with them. And I thought I would just phone my mom and say, what do I do? And, this time I went, visited her in hospital, and I said to her, Mom, I need to ask you stupid things like what I do with all these curtain hooks. And in her half wake state, she said, keep them. You'll always use them. And recently I told her the story about that. And I said to her, and I asked you the most stupid question, and you answered me. She said, I hope I said you must keep them because you'll always use them.
Oh, wow.
And we laughed over our glass of wine. Now, I know I'm going to have to go through that again with my mom. I'm going to have to go through the actual loss of her. And I understand the different phases that you're at, where it's like, you know, that person still got their mom. What have they got to worry about? Or, you know, that person will never understand, or they haven't grown spiritually. But yeah, I think I fully, a lot of what you've said resonates with me. Just a reminder to myself, really, from your story, is that some of us still have to go through that. Thank you for showing us that it's not, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be fine about it. It is hard.
You know, I miss myself. I really miss myself. Like I miss the person I was then. Like 11th of August, 2022. I feel like I was a better person. Like I really do. Like I've opened a folder with all her pictures, and every time I feel something, I go into the folder. I go into the darkness. I heard a story yesterday that says cows and like the cows in the wild, what they called, whatever they called, in the wild, those big cows, whatever, buffaloes. when there's a storm approaching, they can sense it. Cows run away from the storm, but buffaloes run into the storm. They go towards the storm. Now, the cows get tired, but the storm follows them, and they're always in the shit. But the buffaloes go into it, and they might get into shit for a little bit, but then they go into the middle of the storm, and it's fine, but it goes by faster. And for me, I've been living in the pain, going into the albums, looking at pictures of my mother, listening to voice notes, reading messages, cry, 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 cry. I've been doing that over and over, and I felt like this actually has helped. Because I've gone into the storm.
I love that analogy. I don't know if it's true that cows. I don't know if that is true. It's perfect. It's just the most brilliant analogy. But I mean, you could be making this up, and I'd still think it was beautiful.
No, but remember what they're saying is that they do go away from it. Obviously, they don't have enough time to run, whatever. But what happens is they do run away from it, and buffaloes go towards it.
Amazing.
I heard that the other day from a guy. Listen, Cliff, what's your view on a Tate?
Okay, wait. We got to get into this. I want us to talk about this properly. We're going to just after seven. Stick around. This is a good question because we got to talk about that. It's something that people are always asking, not just of me. Is this guy the worst form of a man that has ever lived, or is he a guy who keeps hitting on some truths that make a lot of people very uncomfortable? And the whole thing around his arrest. This is a very interesting discussion. So we're going to get into it. That's coming up next. CliffCentral.com. It is.
I have some views.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We got some interesting stuff coming up. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.